Chapter 18. More Trouble at Home. That afternoon, as soon as Robert returned home, he immediately grabbed the local phone book from the hallway closet and retreated upstairs to his bedroom to look up Dr. Howard's address. That's right, Dr. Howard, he thought. You may have my home address on file at school, but I can also find yours. As he flipped through the pages, he sang a little ditty in his head. Let my fingers do the walkin', let my mouth do the talkin'. It was a commercial jingle for the yellow and white pages he had overheard on TV one day. Once he landed on Howard's name, he was shocked, though delighted, to learn that the wild boars didn't have far to travel to infiltrate his home laboratory. He lived only 20 blocks away. With a man as strange as Dr. Howard, Robert had figured it was more likely he lived on Pluto than in his own hometown. And only a short ride away, no less. Robert quickly grabbed his novelty Garfield phone and called his friends to tell them to meet him at Dr. Howard's address in half an hour. Robert raced downstairs to grab a quick bite to eat before he headed for his motorbike. Wanting to hurry out the door before his parents arrived, he still hadn't thought of a decent excuse about where his father's tires went, and he couldn't exactly explain that they magically disappeared. Since his father's car was no longer in the garage, Robert reasoned he must have gotten to work somehow. He knew his father was always prepared and most likely had more than one spare lying around. Just as Robert was about to exit the house, he heard the garage door open. His father was home early. On the other side of town, Chris had other problems to deal with, namely, his own father. While he was trying to sneak out the back door to his dirt bike parked in the yard, his father had grabbed him from behind on the shoulder, making Chris jump half a foot in the air. "Whoa," Chris yelled. "Sorry to scare you like that, champ," his father jovially said. "Where are you headed?"
Nowhere,"
Chris meekly responded. His father sternly stared his son down.
"Nowhere isn't a place I've ever heard of," he said.
Then mimicking a popular public service spot on TV, he added, "Chris, is your brain on drugs?"
"No,"
Chris flatly denied, almost laughing at the absurdity of the question.
"Are you sneaking out to go on a date?"
"No,"
Chris repeated.
"Because if you are, that'd be great,"
his father answered, somewhat surprisingly.
"It's about time you got out and mingled with the fairer sex."
Chris blanched and began rubbing his temple.
"Dad," he began, humiliated, "please don't say fairer sex."
"Then what are you doing, Christopher?"
"I'm going to hang out with my friends, okay?"
Chris finally answered.
"Who?"
his dad asked, clueless.
Robert and Rennie,"
Chris said in a no-duh voice.
"Those guys?"
"Yeah,"
Chris answered sarcastically.
"I've only been hanging out with them since kindergarten."
His father shook his head solemnly.
"It's late, Christopher," he stated. "You can see them tomorrow."
"But Dad,"
Chris whined,
"Robert wants to show me the new modifications on his bike."
"Again, he can show you tomorrow,"
his father firmly ordered.
"Now, get ready for dinner. It's Liverwurst Supreme night."
Chris sighed, about to give in to defeat, when an idea struck him.
"Okay, you got me,"
he admitted.
"I am going out on a date."
"You are?"
his dad asked with excitement.
"Yes. What's her name?"
Chris scanned his brain for a name and came up with Rennie's crush.
"It's Barbara."
"Pretty name,"
his dad complimented.
"I thought so too,"
Chris added.
"Guess we like the same type of women,"
his father proudly said.
"You're a chip off the old block."
Chris began motioning toward the back door of the house again.
"Thanks,"
he said.
"I think." "What does she look like?"
his dad asked.
"Like your mother?"
"Dad!"
Chris shouted, his face flushing red. Before, he had simply been embarrassed. Now, he was mortified.
"It's okay,"
his dad said.
"You don't have to tell me."
"Great,"
Chris said, opening the rear door.
"I'll let you know how it goes.
Don't come back too late,"
his father called, and then added with a mischievous chuckle,
"And don't do anything I wouldn't do."
Chris simply rolled his eyes as he walked off into the fading sunlight. Back at Robert's house, things weren't quite so sunny. Robert tried to hustle to his backyard shed to retrieve his dirt bike, but his father had other plans.
"Robert," he called from the back porch, "get in here now."
Robert slowly turned around to face the music. As he approached his house's rear exit, the intimidating shadow of his father filling the doorway. That music was a funeral hymn. Passing his father and entering the house, his face flinched, expecting a fresh slap. But thankfully, none came. Luckily for Robert, Dan still had standards.
"Would you mind explaining to me what the hell happened to my tires?"
he asked, doing his best to stifle his rage.
"What tires?"
Robert asked. It was worth a shot.
Oh, Robert,
Dan began, as he removed his glasses to rub his eyes wearily.
If you know what's best for you, you won't play dumb again.
Are you talking about your car?
Robert asked.
No,
Dan sarcastically spat. My toy train set downstairs. Of course, my car. For emphasis, he opened the adjacent garage door to reveal the two small spares on his Toyota, the lopsided car leaning comically like a drunken hobo. As Robert had suspected, his father was always prepared.
I didn't take them,
Robert protested, expecting either another verbal onslaught or an actual physical one. Instead, his father simply lowered his eyes in disappointment.
I'm not going to waste any more of my time arguing with you,
he said, his voice an ominous hush.
You're grounded for 2 weeks.
What?
Robert asked.
1 week for each tire,
Stan explained, slamming the garage door shut again.
But that's not fair,
Robert complained.
What's not fair is me being half an hour late to work because I had to replace my two missing tires,
his father continued.
I swear I didn't do it,
Robert lied.
Boy,
Stan began, with malice in his voice,
if you keep lying to me, I'm going to make it 3 weeks.
He didn't do it,
a soft voice wafted from the kitchen. Both Stan and Robert looked up to see Robert's mother. She had just come down from her bedroom upstairs.
The tires were gone this morning before he left for school. Someone broke into the garage overnight and took them. I was going to tell you as soon as you got home from work, but you didn't give me a chance.
Stan wasn't convinced.
If someone broke into the garage,
he began suspiciously,
why wasn't there any broken glass this morning?
Robert's head sank to meet his chest.
I fixed the glass before going for my morning breakfast bagel,
Donna immediately answered, as if she had rehearsed the line earlier.
Since when did you become Mrs. Fix-It?
Dan asked his wife.
You need my help to change a light bulb.
Let's just say I've been quite bored this past year, waiting for Robert to come home from school, and you to come home from work. So I learned a few things on my own.
She crossed her arms for emphasis. Stan still wasn't entirely persuaded, but at this point, it was his wife's word against his common sense and better judgment.
Despite getting to his job late,
it had felt like a long day of work, and he didn't want to argue forever. At a loss for words, Dan simply stammered,
well, that's quite impressive, then.
Turning back toward his son, he looked as if he was going to issue an apology. Then, thinking better of it, he stormed off upstairs muttering,
I'm gonna take a shower.
After making sure his father was out of earshot, Robert exhaled in relief.
Thanks, Mom. You're welcome, honey,
she responded. Then, in a more serious tone, she added,
Listen, I don't know what you and your friends are up to, but this is the last time I'm going to bail you out. Okay?
Deal,
Robert agreed, just ecstatic that he had gotten away with it this time. His mother winked, and Robert headed for the backyard.
Don't come back too late,
she called after him.
I won't,
he answered. But they both knew that was a lie.